Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. And again, we're expanding with our very own, my own and John Gaffney's Kicked in the Teeth and AC/DC podcast. We're up to 3 episodes now. Check that out as well. But we're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this is episode 254. I'm calling this Goofy Riffs. Goofy Riffs, nice, simple, catchy title. I know I've brought up some of these songs and denigrated them time and time again, but I've put it all in one place and did a little bit of research and looked at why and how and who does a lot of these goofy riffs, silly riffs, and what it does for these songs. Generally makes me like them less, I suppose, is the main thing. But so the idea is this. I'll keep it general, as I always do, before we get in the examples here. I've always thought there are songs that had a riff that made me take it less seriously because it's, I'll throw out some adjectives here, silly, children's music, sing-songy, The great Ronnie James Dio used to, his ears would perk up and say, that sounds too jolly. So he didn't like jolly music. And, a sign of a good episode, I went through a whole lot of bands checking out their entire catalogs of at least the meaningful, early stuff where, as you might have noticed with this podcast, We try to stick to examples. Sometimes I'm proselytizing and trying to show you new music, but we do stick, this is a good episode that shows that we try to stick examples of the part of the catalog where you will recognize what I'm talking about without having to go play the song because it's not a later, lesser known song kind of thing. I went through a lot of the big bands' catalogs. And look for these. And again, sign of a good episode. There are not that many of these with a lot of these bands, but there are some trends. There are some interesting little trends that come down. So what else for adjectives? Comedic. Did I say bouncy yet? Nursery rhyme-ish. Line dancing. Country line dancing. The Russian riff. We're going to hear one of those. Tate Davis from the Contrarians, and he's been part of some of my panel books as well. An excellent wise music Swami. He's somewhat, I can align what he said, on a couple of these, the Stein test, right? The German swinging back and forth with your Stein test, your Oktoberfest thing that kind of fits as well. Cheery, what else? This is actually a very good one as well. Sweet and sour. You've heard me talk about sweet and sour riffs. One of these definitely feels like that, to me, where it's like your nose kind of wrinkles. You just think, it's kind of like a silly, weird thing. It undermine the seriousness of the band and the seriousness of the song kind of thing. All right, so let's get to our examples here and we shall explore this further. Take a listen to this. This is Ozzy Osbourne with Crazy Train. Okay, September 12th, 1985. 5 times platinum now, this album. You know, I still think of it as a little cool, independent, modest sort of album. It's got a lot of modesty to it. I remember getting this as a new release, got the UK one, and thinking, this isn't that heavy. It's interesting. It's got a really cool guitarist, but it's not that heavy. But Crazy Train, the category here, as we have as a time-honored tradition here, often with these episodes, it's the first one that comes to mind. When I think of this idea, I think of Crazy Train. So I just, and again, it's because I've been consistent remembering it since the day I got this album, right? You hear that opening, dramatic, really cool Randy Rhoads, I don't know, would you call that chromatic, scalish type thing? And then it breaks into the song, and it's like someone let the air out of your tires sort of thing. It goes into this sweet and sour, silly, goofy riff that's augmented and made even more goofy by the Bob Daisley kind of disco bass line with a doot, 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 doot. I didn't warn you. I meant to warn you. There's going to be a lot of singing in this episode. But that, you know, doot, 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 and then Ozzy's vocal melody is not particularly goofy, but it doesn't help it a lot. It is a different vocal melody, so it actually adds a new musicality to it as well. But I just always remembered Crazy Train will always be a lesser song for me because I've always thought of it as a disco song, essentially. So that's an interesting one. And also in this category of first that come to mind, I have 3 that come to mind. The other one is Number of the Beast, Iron Maiden, that left and it's got a bunch of sweet and sour, goofy, melodic, obscure melodic, arcane melodic kind of feels to it. I never liked that song, just something about it, you know. And what you're going to notice with a lot of these songs is sometimes the riff can be goofy, but the lyrics are not goofy. And this is a pretty satanic evil sort of song, right? So yeah, that one always bothered me. And then I thought, well, let's check some more Maiden. And there's a fair number with Maiden. Can I Play With Madness? I always thought had that thing going with it too. Just don't like the melodic. This is the other thing I want to mention here. I wanted to stay away from straight chord changes because that can be just considered melodic or cheery. I wanted to have something that was crossing into goofy, and to cross into goofy, it felt like we had to be talking about riffs. But Can I Play With Madness is a little chord changey, a little riffy. Mother Russia, so this is our Russian one. So anytime anybody tries to do the Cossack arms crossed, a dance thing, that always sounds goofy and silly, and it totally sounds silly on Mother Russia. And sticking with, you know, this period of Maiden, I think Tail Gunner actually has, you know, that whole thing. So again, it sounds goofy to me. Holy Smoke, same sort of thing, but it's only the opening, that thing, right? So that thing sounds goofy to me. From Here to Eternity, that thing sounds goofy to me. Now, the other one that even goes further back than Ozzy Crazy Train for me, and this one fascinates me thinking about this because it literally is the germination of this idea of goofy riffs to me. Black Sabbath, St. Vitus Dance off of Volume 4. So I remember hearing that album. We pretty much got that as a new release. I mean, I swear I was 10 when I heard that. So not 9, but 10, right? So 1973. But I'll tell you something about that song. We always, as soon as we heard it, we kind of started laughing and we thought it was a country song. Because that intro to it is sort of line dancing, sort of corn pone, the ding 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 ding, and then it goes into a totally heavy riff and it just becomes another Volume 4 song. But we always had that song, always had a target on its back because of that intro thing, which we just instantly saw as goofy as kids, right? Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here, History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 254, Goofy Riffs. Let's take a listen to our next selection and we shall discuss. This is Aerosmith with Shame on You. Okay. November 4th, 1985, the Dunwith Mears album, the kind of brown, gray album, frumpy album, first with Geffen, but it didn't catch on because it's just not that bright or exciting. Went gold, though. So this is a perfect example. You hear that riff. This is Aerosmith has a trend with that, and we've got some other examples here, but you hear that riff. And there's a little bit of a parallel to the song, you know, the song we just discussed, St. Vitus Dance, in that, and I left enough of the clip there to show you what happens here. You get the goofy part, but then the band, it's almost like they're having a thought process where they're saying, okay, we've been goofy long enough. We have to counter the goofy with something less goofy. So soon as Steven starts singing, we go into something that doesn't sound goofy at all, right? But then this switchbacks back and forth, right, sort of thing. So this is the Aerosmith thing where they essentially, like, one of the things they do is the goofy riff, the goofy, funky riff, right? In fact, I didn't check what I'm about to say exactly, but I would say that a lot, if not most or all, of their funky riffs are goofy at the same time. Some other examples of this are like Same Old Song and Dance. I always thought that sounded a little goofy. I listened to that song, and you know, the title sends you this way as well, but I picture, a bunch of guys dancing in unison in the 1940s in tuxedo holding their canes out, right? You know, doing the cane thing. And what emphasizes it or underscores it is that Steven is singing in unison with that goofy riff. And a perfect example of the Shame on You kind of situation is Last Child, right? Off of Rocks. To me, Last Child is the only silly song on Rocks. You know, you know, that whole thing, right? Bolivia Ragamuffins, kind of the same idea, off of the Great Rock and a Hard Place album. Ragdoll is kind of the same thing. And again, what happens is, a funny thing with these Aerosmith goofy riff songs is that Steven Tyler kind of falls into character, right? So you listen to Ragdoll, and it's a goofy, funky riff. And when I say this goofy, funky, you know, with Aerosmith, I also picture them sitting on a front porch, jamming these songs. In fact, on this album, there's literally a front porch sounding sound effect on it, right? The thing that Steven does is, so here he sings more unison with the riff, and he also, he seems to, when these funky things happen, he seems to fall into like a Southern accent or a bit of a black accent, or he pulls out a little bit of that rap from his trick bag, right? So you see him playing to the goofiness of the riff and being equally goofy. And I thought also, interestingly, Joe Perry Project, Joe Perry happens to be one of the guitarists in Aerosmith, so maybe we can blame Joe for these type of riffs, because the Joe Perry Project, you know, on the amazingly classic and not very goofy Let the Music Do the Talking album, his first album, Discount Dogs, is totally one of these goofy, funky riffs. And I think he goes a few different ways. So it almost widens. He widens the definition of goofy as he goes to the next two albums. They only made the three albums, right? But you go to I've got the Rock and Rolls again. You've got No Substitute for Arrogance, TV Police. They're both kind of goofy. Once a Rocker, Always a Rocker. The title track from the semi-disastrous third one. And Black Velvet Pants. In fact, most of this album sounds a little goofy, and it's augmented or made that way a little more by the vamping of the vocalist, Mott Cowboy Bell there. So definitely Aerosmith has this idea, comedic guitar, right? So we don't even have to get into comedic vocals, comedic lyrics to talk about this idea. There are these goofy riffs that instantly send you into a comedic space. All right, let's play our third selection here. Take a listen to this. This is AC/DC with Can't Stand Still.
Yeah.
right, from the Stiff Upper Lip album. February 28th, 2000, their 14th album. So the idea here is a little similar to our They Shrunk the Boogie episode, right? You know, the idea that the boogie gets smaller, it gets less powerful, but it also kind of gets comedic at times, right? Although this one isn't particularly boogie. So the interesting thing I found researching for this goofy riff episode when it comes to AC/DC is that they can be a little goofy with the boogie, but they can also be a little goofy in this interesting Celtic direction, right? Can I Sit Next to You Girl has a little bit of that Celtic riff, and it's a little goofy, right? They can be a little bit of this cornpone idea, right? This southern rock and beer pulling music, right? You think of that old you know, Bugs Bunny episode where Bugs is playing the fiddle and the two guys, you know, the hillbillies with the long beards are pulling their beards and smacking each other up, and there's a hilarious song playing. That's literally what I think about when I think of some of these AC/DC songs like this. But another one, you know, even Back in Black has one of these. I think Shake a Leg can be a little goofy with the that thing, right? Brain Shake, same sort of thing Flick of the Switch. And Meltdown from Stiff Upper Lip as well has this thing where it feels like the line dancing thing. The line dancing thing I've also accused Def Leppard of doing, and I also accuse AC/DC of doing two or three or four times on Rock or Bust, Misadventure being one of those. It definitely sounds like that sort of thing as well. So yeah, AC/DC. The other thing that happens with AC/DC and the shrinking of the boogie that I notice, and it's starting to really bother me with some of these later albums, is the guitar tone is so soft and semi-clean that that undermines the heaviness or importance of these songs. They just feel like barely pulsing songs at some point, sort of thing. Now, also on this line of They Shrunk the Boogie, and you know, think of that other great boogie band that I love so much, Status Quo. I think they have three goofy riff songs. One would be Paper Plane, and then you know, the goofiness of it is enforced by a goofy vocal melody as well. So that always struck me. Again, as a kid, I'm pretty sure I got that album when I was 10. And that song was just always comedic, but it's inviting comedic at the same time. It's like, I mean, comedic songs generally are fairly inviting, and they put you in a good mood. That's what comedy does and humor does. But yeah, to that song always sounded funny to me. And I also feel that Slow Train off of the Great Quo album, is a little bit like that as well. And again, the thing about this song is, it is, you know, I think about most of what goes on in Slow Train, and I would describe most of the comedic or goofiness to the vocal melody. So if you want to let me cheat and call that a vocal riff, that's got that. I think That's a Fact is a little bit like that, and I think That's a Fact is a little bit in that Aerosmith zone, actually. All right, let's play our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Rush with I Think I'm Going Bald.
I looked in the mirror today. My eyes just didn't seem so bright. I've lost a few more hairs. I think I'm going bald.
Okay, so, you know, obviously, you know, we're sent to think that way, but it didn't necessarily have to line up. But obviously, this is one of the band's most comedic lyrics, right? And, you know, they always joke about it, and they're a little embarrassed by this song, ha ha ha, you know, on Caress of Steel. But the fact of the matter is, the riff itself is a little goofy. And the riff itself is like a redo of the In the Mood riff off of the first album, right? So there's a copacetic-ness between these two riffs. And it's that circular nature. It's that single note sort of scale nature to it. It's also, it's got a faint pulse, a faint memory of like a Chuck Berry idea. So it's kind of an old rock and roll lick at the same time. But it is goofy and cheery, right? And I've always thought By Tor and the Snow Dog was quite cheery, right? So again, and that's a little bit of a comedic lyric as well. And it also is a very melodic vocal melody. But that falls more into the chord sequence idea. But I've always thought that chord sequence really undermined the heaviness of the song. And it did sound a little sweet and sour, a little goofy, but it is very innovative and cool. And it's a famous Rush song for a reason, because it does sound quite remarkable or unique, right? And then, you know, the Analog Kid, you know, so again, you've got kind of a Celtic scale going on there with Alex. So, you know, Alex is not a particularly, he can be melodic and slightly comedic or upbeat or up-tempo. Even Red Barchetta, you think of songs like that, where he can do that, but when it comes to the whittly riffs, they are, well, he doesn't do them that often, but sometimes they can be this way. And I think that's that way. And this one is underscored and emphasized by the bass, Getty's bass participating in that riff as well. And I think in a totally different department, you could say Red Lenses. That's a goofy... That's a goofy thing in sort of the, you think of the Charlie Chan, you know, Chinese music sort of goofiness, right? So now we're doing the Russia China thing, right? So sometimes goofiness in Japan, when you hear sort of Japanese things going on in music too, that can sound a little goofy or strange or sweet and sour to the ear kind of thing. So Red Lenses has that. It's, and the percussion is goofy in it as well. So that underscores it. And then Kid Gloves, you know, with the that thing's a little goofy as well. So yeah, Rush can go to this place at times. We know Rush has a good sense of humor, right? So yeah, Rush is a full participant here in our Goofy Riffs episode. Let's move on to our fifth selection and take a listen. This is Thin Lizzy with Fighting My Way Back. Okay, so band does not look goofy on the cover, although they kind of think it's a little bit of a goofy cover, but boy, you should take a drink for every time I say goofy in this episode. But Fighting My Way Back always bothered me. This song always bothered me, even though you know, even though it's framed or arranged like a heavy song on this album. I think the verse has very kind of silly, sing-songy, sweet and sour chords, riff, whatever you want to call it. And then even when you get to the chorus, even though it's completely different from the verse, it's another version of Goofy. So I've always thought that about this song. It's always bothered me. And a funny one, so I went through all the Thin Lizzy stuff. They really don't have too many of these, right? So mark of a good episode where you don't find a lot of this, right? But I did notice that in Rocky from Johnny the Fox, I feel like the interesting thing about Rocky is that, first of all, the lyric, I suppose, is a little goofy. There's kind of repetition and simplicity to it. The chords themselves are not goofy. They're just kind of cheery. But the funny thing that makes it a little goofy is the bass line. So sometimes somebody else can be the comedian in the band, right? And I think that bass line sends it a little bit that way. And I feel like Iron Maiden does that sometimes too. I think Steve Harris can make a song sound a little bit goofier than it would have been just if we were listening to the riff. The category this time is just some miscellaneous ones I wanted to mention for our last category here. Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine is a famous one for this. That whole thing with Slash explaining that whole opening thing was just like a guitar exercise to stretch your fingering sort of thing that he had picked up from someone teaching him guitar kind of thing. And he played it and people thought it was silly, and it is. But it's such an iconic part of such a massive song. But, you know, the rest of the song is just a serious, good up-tempo ballad. But that opening salvo is completely goofy, and Slash totally thought it was, you know, when he first played it, thinking, what, we're really going to include this on an album? Judas Priest went through all the Judas Priest stuff, checking for this. And Rock-A-Rolla has a special place in the goofy zone. It's kind of more amusing than funny. It's more like... You hear that riff. It sounds more like stumbling around drunk kind of thing, right? So it's got that sort of feel to it. But it's not particularly comedic because it also has a little bit of that tritone Diablos in Musica, Devil's Note feel to it as well. You know, and Hero's End actually does that too. Hero's End is a little amusing because it sounds backwards. But it also has a little bit of the tritone to it as well. And then another special one later in the catalog is You Say Yes from Point of Entry. I listen to that, and that one feels a little bit in the mood, I think I'm going bald, Aerosmith zone. You know, the dun 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 dun. So it's a little goofy. Rainbow, I checked most of Rainbow. Rainbow doesn't really have a lot of this, but a little bit of that circular Ritchie Blackmore thing that he does. It's one of his main tricks, and he's done it, you know, 8 or 10 times. The worst or the goofiest version of it happens to be on Long Live Rock and Roll with that very non-goofy album cover, and the rest of it is pretty serious. Sensitive to Light. And once you get into the circular thing that he does all the time, that Lady Double Dealer thing, it's not as goofy. Black Sheep of the Family, even though they didn't write it, I think that whole song is pretty goofy, but the riff is definitely like that. Blue Oyster Cult, Red and the Black. I think of beard pulling music. I think of the Southern Rock Deliverance when I hear dun 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 dun. You know, Hee-Haw. Remember anybody old enough to have watched Hee-Haw a bunch of times as a kid? Dominance and Submission. Funny thing about that one. Everybody thinks that's such a heavy, cool song, you know, and that album, and is like one of the greatest Blue Oyster Cult songs of all time, and with that great title, Dominance and Submission. The rest of the titles, and it's on an album called Secret Treaties and all that. But when I hear da 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 da, you know, it's got Diablos in Music in it, of course, but I think of go-go dancers. All I can think of is James Bond type go-go dancers dancing around to that. It sounds very dated to me. And ETI, I think, is kind of goofy as well. You know, that sort of thing, right? So that, again, ETI sounds like something Joe Perry might have written, you know, that could have been on Rocks kind of thing. So it's got that. Led Zeppelin, not very many of these at all. You know, if I had to be forced to pull out a couple that I think are a little comedic on Physical Graffiti, the great Physical Graffiti album, I might go with Night Flight and Custard Pie. One of those is kind of like comedic funky, and the other one is more like comedic, you know, lack of ambition boogie. You know, Night Flight, you think of the chorus to that, it just sounds kind of frumpy and Rolling Stonesy. So it's a little comedic that way. It's like, you know, they're letting their hair down kind of thing. But on Presence, absolutely, there's a couple very goofy riffs on there. Royal Orleans and Hots On For Nowhere. I think both of those are Jimmy doing that thing. It feels like it's more part of Jimmy's thought process than we actually hear on the records. But when you hear it, you definitely hear it, and it's pretty cool when you hear it. So I think both of those are arcane, sweet and sour, strange. Not particularly sing-songy, but definitely somewhat goofy. Now, Ted Nugent is our last example here. I feel like Light My Way on Free For All with the... So that, to me, is bouncy, cheery, goofy, a little bit Aerosmithy. Weekend Warriors, very annoying. I've always found that song completely comedic, where, again, you know, the subtext, the narrative across this episode is when I'm finding these things goofy, it's usually means that the song goes way down the list of best songs on the album sort of thing. And Weekend Warriors with a that thing, right? Very goofy. I got the feeling, you know, it's more of like a fast boogie. It's a little bit Journey to the Center of the Mind, I guess. But I find he does it with sort of a comedic square dancing Southern rock sort of vibe. So Ted definitely has a really good sense of humor, and he has a lot of humor. He's notorious for it, and I've given him a lot of heck for having too much humor on his albums, right? But he can have humor in his lyrics. He can even sing kind of funny, but he definitely can do these goofy riffs. Thyracious from Spirit of the Wild, same kind of thing, that Aerosmith sort of thing. And then there are a lot of other examples that I think feel like they fall more into the goofy chord sequence thing. And some of those are They Shrunk the Boogie ones, right? So some of those are just boogie songs that are pop boogie, happy boogie, silly boogie, throwaway songs boogie. He does that a lot too. Which is unfortunate, because I love Ted. He's got so many amazing, cool other things that he does. But it just bothers me that a lot of real estate on the albums, maybe a third of the real estate on a lot of the albums, can be a little bit too lighthearted, shall we say. There you go. If you like the show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. It's a simple PayPal $3 non-recurring thing. This week I want to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission. Very cool on Facebook. There's some great shots of Andy standing with Alice Cooper. Awesome. Of course, Andy's a rock star in his own right. KMFDM and Blondie. He was probably there with Alice, based on Blondie, as I imagine it kind of thing. But they look great standing together. It was really cool. Great shots on Facebook. Joe Becht, John Clark, Monty Olson, Augustine Garcia de Prades, Steve Polari, and Brian Sager. Thank you all for all your book needs. You can go to martinpopoff.com. You know, I'm signing, sending them out. You know what? I want to say something here. I should get this changed, but it's hard to get things changed at my website, and I pay for it, and it takes a while, and it takes some, you know, so little changes I don't want to make. But the Led Zeppelin visual biography that just came out, it's fewer pages than I thought. It cost me a little less to import from the UK than I thought. So I'm charging too much for it is what I'm trying to tell you. So if anybody is hearing this and wants one of that Led Zeppelin visual biography, which is a hardcover, full color throughout. It's a timeline with every gig mentioned and lots of pictures. But it is a little shorter, and like I say, it didn't cost me as much. And I've put it at the same price as all the other visual biographies, right? Which are $75, $88 in Canada, because they're a lot to mail because they're heavy and stuff. So it's a little lighter too. So it's sitting there at that same price. But if anybody wants one of those, just messenger me or email me at martinp@inforamp.net, and I'll send you back maybe a list of other books that I'll throw in an extra free book for you, because I have this certain box that I can actually put in a smaller one of my books. And you know, there's 8 or 9 different books that I'll chuck in there for free. By the way, this will only work in Canada and America, not overseas, because the weight just keeps shooting everything up, right? You know, very quickly kind of thing. So yeah, if you want a Led Zeppelin visual biography, just hit the button, buy it, and then let me know, and I'm going to give you a free book. Okay, thanks very much. We'll talk to you later. Go listen to some goofy riffs.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.